Yeah, so that I decided that during the last 75 years, I spoke so many times about burger system that I cannot say anything new. And I decided, and the organizers called me to change the title. It will be, the talk will be also related to fluid dynamics, but the title and the subject are slightly different. And the title is just bifurcations. Bifurcations in solutions. Navier-Stokes system. So it is, I shall explain a recent joint paper with my co-author, Dong Li, beginning with the next year. He will be in the University of British Columbia, meaning that he will become a Canadian mathematician. At the moment, he's an American mathematician. So the work which I'm planning to describe related to problems of climate. And I just want to say that, in my opinion, mathematicians should be closer to just problems of climate. And contrary to many people, I don't think that the connection with just strange attractors, hyperbolicity, and all these things are so useful. Yeah. So if we just think the motion of the atmosphere, then after short thinking, it becomes clear that the number of different types of the motion of atmosphere which are needed for prediction just very limited. Therefore, if we think about, say, symbolic representation of the dynamics of the atmosphere, then it will be just some just process with quite few number of coordinates. And so the main problem is to describe all this just possible types of dynamics of atmosphere and their interaction, how just two types of dynamics can just interact with each other, how they can change from one type to another. And another remark is the following, that if you talk to people who work in the fluid dynamics, then they always speak about turbulence and nothing else. On the other hand, if you also start to speak turbulence, then there appear just questions about which experts do not have the unique answer. For example, if we consider rain, is rain a turbulent motion of atmosphere? Or if we consider tornado, is tornado just some manifestation of turbulence or not? And there are many questions of this type which can be asked. And the main content of my talk today is to describe some kind of bifurcations which can appear just in the Navier-Stokes system. Another motivation for this work was the following. That during the summer, I was in Moscow, and many of you probably heard that at that time in Moscow there was a very hot weather. And what was surprising, that in spite of this hot weather, there was no wind. So the atmosphere stayed more or less just fixed, immobile. And then there were very slow processes when just the boundary of regions with a given temperature could just penetrate into each other. And this can be considered as some possible bifurcation. Therefore, I shall just discuss bifurcations in solutions of Navier Stokes system. So we shall consider two-dimensional case, two-dimensional Navier Stokes system, because just from the point of view of just applications and usefulness of the theory, two-dimensional case is the main case. So we can just neglect by this vertical dynamics of atmosphere, which is very thin layer, and just assume that everything just takes place on the boundary of the Earth. And also we neglect by the curvature, so we assume that our Earth is completely flat. And the main equation which is used in this case for describing the atmosphere is Navier-Stokes equation written for a stream function. Stream function is a function of three variables, x1, x2, and time t. We assume that x1 and x2 are between 0 and pi. The reason why stream function is so useful follows from the formula that the components of velocity are given by a skew gradient, which means that u1, the first component of the velocity, is minus dc over dx2, and u2 is just dc over dx1. So the advantage of this formula is due to the fact that if we know psi, then the expression for velocity are given by local operations. This is just certainly very important. And if we have also this formula, then the incompressibility condition is varied automatically. So we should not think about anything else. One more relation which will be needed says that if we consider vorticity, which is the curl of the velocity u, then the vorticity is just given by the Laplacian of psi. So these are basic relations which will be needed during this lecture. And the basic equation for psi has the following form: d over dt of Laplacian psi plus plus what? Plus dx2 of psi d of x1 of Laplacian psi and then plus d psi dx1 d of the Laplacian with respect to x2, and this is equal to the second square of Laplacian psi. Since we are using this equation, we assume that the viscosity of the system equals to 1. Certainly it is interesting to consider everything which is connected with the limit transition when viscosity tends to 0, but this question will not be discussed today. So this equation looks like is a very complicated equation. It has just terms of higher order. And the natural step to deal with this equation is to apply to both sides the operator delta minus 1. Then we shall have the equation d over dt of psi plus delta minus 1 minus d psi dx2 dx1 plus d psi dx1 then d of Laplacian dx2, and this is equals delta of psi. This is a much nicer equation. Do you have questions about this?
I assume you were looking at the torus.
No.
Put a pi here.
This is just wait for a second. it will be not the Torah. Now, just experts in PTE should ask me, what do I mean on the operator delta minus 1? Actually, this is very badly defined operator, and its definition depends on the space in which we consider this equation. Now, just I want to describe this space, namely, we shall consider functions psi, which can be written as the sum f of m n sine m x1 sine m x2. So why this form of the equation, why this form of the function is convenient? The main reason is that this space of this function goes through the equation. If we just consider psi of this form, then the Laplacian of psi also is of this form, because sine times sine is an eigenfunction of Laplacian. I don't consider zero Dirichlet condition. Just wait. So, but if we consider, say, this product, then when we differentiate it with respect to x2, then we shall have the series fmn sine m x1 cosine m x2, and just taking into account that here are many experts, I shall write here also m. So this is just d psi over dx, and dx2, and then we can write the same equation for d psi over dx1, and it will have the product cosine times sine. When we consider the product of this function, then for each variable, say x1, it will be just the product of sine times cosine. And sine times cosine, as just people learn in the high school, can be written as the sum of sines. And the same is true for the other variable, x2. Therefore, when we use the space of this function, then each of this product can be written also is a series of this type with respect to sine and sine. So what is another advantage or disadvantage? It is just the following, that if we assume that psi has this form, then we would like to know what is just the boundary condition for the velocity. So u1 is just minus d psi over dx2, and then when we differentiate it, then it is just minus the sum fmn sine mx1 cosine nx2. And then since x changes within these variables, then we can see that when x1 takes the value 0 or pi, then this sign equals to 0. Therefore, if we consider the square with the size pi, then on this square, the component of the velocity u1 equals to 0. Therefore, only the component u2 can be non-zero. And this means that we consider boundary conditions so that the fluid moves along the boundary. I hope that in this room there are not so many physicists, because physicists will complain about this boundary condition. It's physically not so good, not so natural, but mathematically, as a mathematical model, it is a very good object. And actually, I can say that I can consider the case of the boundary conditions, which physicists like, But it's also not very physical. It's hard to imagine experiments corresponding to the boundary condition. And then big part of the theory, which I shall explain, that can be constructed for this case. But this I don't want to discuss. I think that this model looks like a very good mathematical model. So let me just explain what do I want to prove. So the simplest bifurcation, which just appears in many problems in mathematical physics, is bifurcation of the following type. So we have just initially a function which just has one non-degenerate maximum. Then when just some parameter changes, then some value of parameter, this maximum becomes degenerate, meaning that its second derivative becomes zero. And after that, this function is replaced by a function which has two maximum and one minimum. You can see this picture in the theory of phase transition and in many other cases. If we consider not a function of one variable, but two variables, then we shall have just bifurcation, which can be described as a horn of a camel. So that if we have a camel, then its back just looks something like the following. So people usually sit here, and this is just a saddle point. But when the camel was just young and small, then his back just looked as a rather nice surface, which later became, which later looked like this. So now just assume that we consider the function of psi in a sense as a just a surface of a camel. And the question is, can we find the initial condition in psi so that under time evolution it will go from one maximum to the situation when the surface has two maximum and one minimum, which actually will be a saddle point. So this point is a saddle point. So what does this picture mean from the point of view of equation which we consider? A critical point of function psi are solution to the equation dpsi over dx1 equals to dpsi over dx2 equals to zero. And if we consider this critical point, then from these formulas which we have here, it follows that the velocity near critical point are just directed along the level sets of the function psi. So if say this is just maximum, then near this maximum we have family of closed curve, and the velocity is just exactly consists of vectors which go along this curve. And it does not mean that the trajectory of the fluid just goes along just this closed surface. It is so-called the picture of the fluid at any given moment of time. So in any given moment of time, we have just this closed set. So this, from this point of view, it means that critical points of the function psi are centers of vortices, of viscous vortices, which appear from this equation. So what does it mean, the bifurcation, which I described before? It means that somehow this vortex spreads at some moment of time just this point becomes degenerate, and after the next moment of time, instead of one vortex, there appear three vortices. So just one is this, and then this is the vortex which emanates, I think. Then this, and maybe this is the right picture. So, in the atmosphere, there can appear just more vortices, and in the same way, there can be pictures where this structure of vortices exists at t equal to zero, and under the evolution, it becomes picture of this type. So, in other words, two or three vortices can merge and give at the corresponding moment of time only one vortex.
Yeah. Total vorticity
is conserved. Yes, vorticity, total vorticity is certainly conserved. Okay, so now I just return back to this equation, and just one more general remark. Certainly, there exists a general theory of bifurcation when just some transformation or just differential equation has some fixed point which depends on the parameter, and when the parameter changes, then there is a bifurcation of this critical point under which a neighborhood of this critical point goes under some that changes. So here, the problem which we encounter is slightly different. Deformations which are allowed near critical point are solutions to our main equation. So in the theory of bifurcation, there are verbs of deformations which just describe the general structure of perturbations of the critical point. In our situation, these deformations just are described only by solution of the described only by solution of our Navier-Stokes system. And this is certainly different. I can just give you some more results about this question.
So your bifurcation parameter is time.
Yeah, and it's not clear that it is versal. It's only the bifurcations of our solution are just follow from solution of our basic system. So now just I want to give you the first theorem which is needed for the whole theory. And this theorem was proven some number of years ago by Jonathan Mattingly, whom some people might know, and myself. This is a very good theorem, but it has just one disadvantage. It was proven 10 years before us by other people, Foyers and Thermal. Their proof is slightly different than others. But in this talk, I shall just use basically our proof, you will see it. So the theorem says the following. Suppose that we have, I'm sorry, I must go from the equation to string function to the equation to vorticity. So just write down omega of m. M is just minus m square plus n square f m n. And also just I want to assume that since just we consider the series with respect to sine and sine, which are just odd functions, we assume that this coefficient and this coefficient are odd functions with respect to each variable. Otherwise, just we this formulas do not have any meaning. And so the theorem says the following, that assume that omega just mn of 0 is less or equal than some constant over just n squared plus n squared to some power gamma over 2, and gamma is greater or equal than 2. Now that, I'm sorry, gamma is greater or equal than 1/2. Then there exists another constant, K1, which depends on our equation and everything, but it's an absolute constant, such that omega mn of t is less or equal than K1 over m squared plus n squared to gamma over 2. So if initially, just if our initial conditions decay fast enough, no, I don't think so. No, just so I want to have initially the homogeneity equal to 1. No, you are right. So just gamma greater than 1. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then this homogeneity is just 1/2. Huh? Yeah. Then there exists a constant such that this inequality is valid for all positive times. Actually, there is just a stronger statement which I shall not use, but I maybe just formulate it, which is the theorem prime, which says the following, that under the condition of theorem 1, the function omega n of t satisfies this inequality, satisfies much stronger inequality, gamma over 2 e minus f of t and n squared plus n squared to 1/2, and the function f of t is just linear function on some interval, and then it is constant. Probably we could just prove this theorem just for arbitrary linear function. It requires a little bit more work, but for our purposes, it's good. So this theorem shows that if we consider initial conditions with of this form, then immediately, for all positive times, the solution becomes real analytic. And what is important here, that decay is given by this exponent, not by m squared plus n squared, which just corresponds to the heat equation, but it is exactly the equation of the first degree of homogeneity. So the proof of this theorem, I shall just only outline just the main steps in the proof. Just you will see how does it work. And first of all, in the proof, we use the fact that our system of equations satisfies entropy inequality hands of inequality, meaning that the sum of omega n square of t is less or equal than some constant e script of zero, which is the value of this sum for t equal to zero, and it does not grow. This is just a simple consequence of the system of equations which we have. And then we shall use this equation. But let me write down the system of equations for omega. So the system of equations for omega has the following form. It is d over dt of omega mn plus the sum of m prime plus m double prime equals to m, n prime plus n double prime equals to n, omega m prime n prime times omega m double prime n double prime, and then the kernel m prime n prime over m prime square plus n prime also square plus minus the same expression for the other variables, and then everything equals to minus m square plus n square times omega mn. This is the system of equations. So just it has the form of convolution with some kernel, and actually one can just say that the main form of the equation of fluid dynamics in Fourier space is just a convolution with the kernel, which is just a homogeneous or polynomial-like function of main variables. And from one side, this system of equation is close to the Gaussian system of equation. On the other side, it has just some nice scaling property, which makes it very special for Navier-Stokes system. So the way how we just prove this theorem is just the following. So we just consider the set of omega m n, which satisfies some inequality, which is less or equal than k1, m square plus n square to the power gamma over 2. It is just some set in the infinite dimensional space of all sequences of this form. And what we are proving here is just some kind of maximum principle. Namely, we show that if we consider vector field corresponding to our equation on the boundary of this set, that everywhere on the boundary, this vector field is directed inside our set. This is a simple calculation, but if it is true, then there cannot be trajectory which initially is inside our set but comes to the boundary. Because if it comes to the boundary, then it immediately must return back inside our domain. So this is the basic strategy of the proof. We just take the equation, decompose the sum on the three parts, estimate each part separately, and then get the result. I just... Yeah, it is just the right-hand side of this equation, which is here. Yeah, this is the estimation connected with this form, and the basic idea is that this viscous term is much stronger than this nonlinear term.
Depends on the kind of coefficient we should set around
there. You mean? Yes, it certainly depends on the fact that viscosity is 1, yes. It depends on the viscosity. The form of the domain depends on the viscosity coefficient. I think that people can see this blackboard very well. So therefore, I prefer to use this one and this one. So now we return back to our basic picture, and I want to consider, so we have the unit square whose length is just pi, and I want to take the point with the coordinate pi over 2, pi over 2, and I want to construct the bifurcation of the following form. At t equal to 0, this function psi will have just one maximum. It will be just some, it's not exactly with the center of this point, but nearby. Then just the form of this function psi is just given by this picture. Then we switch on the dynamics, meaning that we consider time dependence on our basic equation, and the following happens. So if we just consider horizontal line, then on the horizontal line, initially we have just one maximum. Then at some moment of time, there appear critical point of our function, which is degenerate, and its expansion starts with terms of degree 4, and after that there appear three critical points. This is bifurcation which I want to calculate somehow. Actually, this is a projection in the x spaces, but our situation is two-dimensional. Therefore, you can think about locally direct product of x times y, x1 times x2. And it will be exactly the back of the camel. So when we just want to consider this thing, then we want to introduce new variables. So x tilde 1 is just pi over 2 plus x, no, just x1 plus x1 tilde x2 equals to pi over 2 plus x2 tilde. And now just, I don't want to use tilde in all formulas, so I just writing this change of the variables. But basic variables after that will be denoted by the same letters x1 and x2. I hope it just does not lead to any complications. So I'm just so the first step will be to write down the equation for the delta psi over dx2 which is just over dx1, and it is just the following. It is just the sum fmn times n sine phi m x1 times cosine, no, phi not needed, cosine m x2. And after that, after we just make all calculations and use the formulas of the trigonometry, we shall come to the expression, which is the sum of four terms. It is just the sum f m n times n, then sine m pi over 2 cosine n pi over 2, then just cosine m x1 times cosine n x2, and then three more products of the same type, which I shall not write down. So now the next step will be just the following. We consider the equation delta psi over dx2 equals to 0. So x2 just enters just into this expression and in the similar expression which we have here. But in this equation, we consider f and n as parameters, and also x1 is also a parameter. Actually, fmn later will be a function of time, but at the moment it does not matter. So we just have the equation, and then we have just cosine nx2 and sine x2, and we use the formulas. Sine nx2 is just nx2 minus n cube x cube, x2 cube, over what, over 6, plus something, and I just keep only terms, only the first two terms. And the same can be written for cosine nx2, it is just 1, minus n square, x square over 2, plus n to the 4, x2 to the 4, over 24, and then also minus other terms. So just we shall just make cut off in this equation, consider only this term, and after that, the equation, after that we shall have the equation for x2 as a function of x1 and f. And this equation will have the following form. 0 is a0 plus capital plus a1 x2 plus a2 x2 square plus a3 x cube plus a4 x to the 4. And I don't write terms of higher order of smallness. For these coefficients, a0, a1, and a2, and all that, I have just explicit expression which shows a dependence on x1 and f, which at the moment I shall not write down, but if someone asks, I just can introduce it here. So then just we consider this equation and we assume that a1 just different from zero, and therefore we divide both coefficients. Just one second, am I right? Maybe I don't need. No, I just need. So maybe I shall write the exact expression for a zero and the assumption about a1. So a0 just the sum fmn times n cosine n pi over 2 and then sine m pi over 2 plus x1. And you see that this expression is just rather simple, and later we shall make some assumptions about a0. And also just I need, maybe I shall write the expression for a1. A1 is just the sum fmn times n squared sine pi, I'm sorry, sine n pi over 2 sine m pi 2 plus x1 and all that. And then just lemma which just describes the situation here is just the following. Let us denote the ratio minus a2 or minus a0 over a1 by epsilon, and it will be just a small parameter. We shall consider the domain in the phase space where epsilon will be sufficiently small, and all other coefficients a2, a3, and just a4 are less or equal than constant c1 times a0. And then the lemma which just covers this situation is just the following, that if C1 and epsilon are so small, are such that for C1 epsilon times 1 plus 3 epsilon times 8 epsilon square is less or equal than 1 half, then the equation dpc over dx2, which has only one solution, and this solution is close to the linear solution when x2 equals to minus a0 over a1. But actually, we can just even estimate the precision of this solution. So if we just consider this solution, then it is just a function of x1 and of the coefficients fmn. This is it will be just important in a second. Now just we shall consider the next equation. Maybe I shall use that one for that. Now we consider the next equation. Delta psi over dx1 equals to 0. But one must be slightly careful with this equation, because when we differentiate the function psi, which was here some time ago, then in this function psi, we have also x2, our coefficients of mn and x2. But instead of x2, we shall just use the expression for this for the solution of this equation, which is just a function of x1 and the coefficient f. Therefore, actually, this equation is the equation only for one variable x1, provided that we just know the coefficients fmn. And another remark, which is just important here, is the following, that if we just use as x2 the solution to this equation, then the point x1, x2 is the point where both derivative of psi are zero. In other words, it is a critical point. So why it is important moment, and why it is so? Because just we used for x2 the expression through x1, which just follows from this equation. It means that if we take any x1 and x2 which follows from this equation, then it gives us the solution to the equation delta psi over dx2 equals to zero. And then we have the second equation where d psi over dx1 equals to zero too. Therefore, it is just a critical point. And then just the last step in this just construction is just the following. Then we substitute instead of x2 its expression, and then we have the equation. Again, if we just neglect by some remainder term, then we just have the equation that B0 plus B1 of XF plus B2 of X square plus B3 X cube, X1 equals to zero. And this expression we neglect by remainder term, which appears in all these calculations. So this is a cubic equation. So we want to know how many solutions does it have. In order to check how many solutions, we just consider a discriminant of this equation, or just we take the derivative, which will be just B1 plus 2B2 X1 plus 3B3 X1 square equals to zero. So if this equation does not have a solution, then it means this is just monotone function of x1. Therefore, this equation has only one solution where it is zero. From the point of view of the picture which we consider, it just means that we are in the regime when we have still only one critical point, which is not degenerate. But then, when we change the parameters, then there can be just the value of parameters where this point becomes degenerate, and after that, there appears a situation when we have three points. And the way just to calculate is just the following. We consider the discriminant of this equation, which is just on the function of our coefficients B1, B2, and B3. And these coefficients are functions of our basic parameter, of the coefficients Fmn. And we can write down the derivative in time of this coefficient, and the final lemma, which just gives everything, says the following. So just I want to show somewhere the expression for the discriminant. Here it is. So the discriminant of this equation is just the following, that it is B2 over 3B3 minus B1 over 3B3. And assume that at t equals to zero, this expression is negative. It is negative, the meaning that it is negative just gives us that we have only one non-degenerate critical point. Then we just consider time derivative of this discriminant, of all this discriminant, and it is just positive. So and even just greater than some constant. So initially discriminant is somewhere here, but then as time grows, the discriminant goes through zero and becomes positive, and therefore at this time the quadratic equation has two solutions, but cubic equation has three equations, and this corresponds exactly to the bifurcation which we want. I also must add that in analyzing this case we need two conditions. One condition is that at t equal to zero this discriminant is sufficiently small, but its time derivative is sufficiently large. Therefore the interval of time which is needed for discriminant to cross zero will be also sufficiently small. And in this domain in the phase space everything is under control, and this is the bifurcation which we want. So I still did not finish, right? Yes, I want to say that actually the theory which I was describing is a part of a much more general theory. Namely, suppose that we consider solutions of nonlinear PDE, and we want to know what kind of bifurcations can happen with solution to this equation. Even it is just interesting to consider simple cases. Simple case in this situation is the heat equation. Equals to the Laplacian of psi. And so what kind of bifurcation can happen here? And it was proven by a student of mine in Princeton that in this situation, the situation is not so interesting. Namely, if we assume that t equal to zero, this function psi has degenerate maximum or minimum, then immediately for positive time this maximum and minimum become non-degenerate. Therefore in this situation there are no interesting bifurcations. On the other hand, it was just discovered numerically by my co-author Don Klee, and I think it can be also proven, but was not proven yet, namely that if we consider biharmonic operator where we have delta square, then there are the situation where initially at the point zero we have degenerate maximum, but for positive time You want me to write minus? Just if you want, I shall write it, but yeah, just I'm asking about the behavior of solution in small neighborhood of the critical. Well, no, what? Okay, so just, I believe you. So just if initially we had here just degenerate maximum, then for positive time solution will have four local maximum and one minimum, something like this. So one maximum will be here in this domain, and here it will be just one minimum. So it will be just interesting to describe general situation for which classes of just even linear PDE we can have various types of bifurcations. Okay, thank you very much.